Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today what we're mainly going to be talking about are the takeaways from a brand new 1 hour long Elon Musk interview by Kara Swisher. Then we have a few other miscellaneous updates, including a new note from Wedbush about Q3, news from Texas, China, and Canada, and a couple other things as well. Bumpy day in the stock markets today, not a whole lot of movement by the end of the day, Tesla finishing up 0.5% to $781.31, and the Nasdaq finishing down 0.25%. So not huge numbers, but continued outperformance from Tesla. All right, so first up, we're going to talk about these takeaways from this new interview from Kara Swisher with Elon Musk. Sometimes these end up being a lot of things that we've heard before. In this case, there's definitely some of that, but overall, I would say it was just a nice interview to listen to. Again, I think Elon seemed in really good spirits. I think he just enjoys talking to Kara, and there was just a lot of joking around between the two of them that just made it an enjoyable listen, so I definitely recommend it, even if some of the conversation is a bit repetitive. So I'll put a link to that in the description, but we'll hit the highlights here, focusing in on the comments relevant to Tesla. So kind of the first one there was around China. Swisher just generally with a series of questions, I think trying to get an understanding of how Elon is feeling about China right now. At one point, she asked if he was nervous about China, and he said, quote, "We've got a big factory in China, which is doing very well. The Tesla China team is doing very well." Adding, quote, "Overall, things are going pretty well, frankly." End quote. She followed up and just pushed a little bit further, asking if he was worried at all about U.S.-China relations, and he says, quote, "Not especially right now," end quote. So I know there's been a lot of concern about Tesla's position in China and just how that's all going this year. Obviously, Elon's going to be careful with his comments, but hopefully that helps ease some concerns. And I think it's good that we've got this little check-in point because we're not going to have Elon on the Q3 call, most likely, where he would normally have some opportunities to share some things like this. Although, I suppose we'll have him at the shareholder meeting just before that Q3 call would happen, so maybe a moot point there. Elon did have one other interesting comment on just the state of things in China right now, and I'd be interested to hear from any of our listeners in China their thoughts on this, but he noted that in general, China is a very in-person business culture, so with the pandemic causing a lot of remote work, that may be amplifying some of the natural friction that can exist with China and entrepreneurs or tech companies in general. Which I thought was a pretty interesting observation, and he feels like once more the in-person stuff can return, things, particularly in China, could be a little bit smoother. Another topic they kind of waded into here was Tesla stock price. I think it came about just as a discussion of Elon's wealth and taxes and things like that. So the stock price got brought up. Swisher asked if he's surprised that it is so high. He said, quote, "I have literally gone on record and said, I think our stock price is too high in my opinion, and this did nothing to stop the rise of the stock price. So I don't know, what am I supposed to do, you know?" End quote. So some coverage of this implying that Elon said that the stock price is too high again. He didn't actually say that, he's just said that he said that in the past. But either way, he kind of makes the point there himself. When he has said that in the past, it hasn't really had much of an impact on the stock. And even when he has said that, he's really just been saying it's more than they've deserved at that stage in time, but that he does believe that the stock price will be worth more in the future. So nothing there that I'm concerned about. Next, there was some SEC banter. For those of you that have followed Elon's tweets about the SEC, he's called them the Short Seller Enrichment Commission. He's had other choice abbreviations for them as well, obviously as a part of the fallout of the since resolved investigation by the SEC into Elon Musk's Twitter usage, the fraud accusation, the settlement, etc. So some back and forth just on that discussion of his Twitter usage. He mentioned that sometimes it's not always the most thought out tweet and made a couple of jokes about that. Anyway, they then transitioned into more the political space, and obviously Elon on Twitter has had comments about President Biden, so that's kind of where Swisher was leading him. Then Elon kind of talked about how at this Biden EV summit, they invited Ford, they invited GM, they invited Chrysler, they invited the UAW, they didn't invite Tesla. Quote, "Didn't mention Tesla once, and praised GM and Ford for leading the EV revolution. Does this sound maybe a little bit biased or something? You know, just not the friendliest administration. Seems to be controlled by the unions, as far as I can tell." End quote. Elon did also note that that didn't mean that he would want the Trump administration back. So anyway, I think we've talked about that EV summit a lot. I think you all know my feelings on that. Very disappointing, but when Elon sets it up as he did, it just really highlights the absurdity of the omission of Tesla. Next, from some audience questions, they got into full self-driving a little bit. Of course, somebody from The Verge asked about FSD NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. I don't know if any of you guys have been following it. Obviously, I've steered clear of it on this podcast, but there's been just a bit of a kerfuffle there over the last couple of days in the media about what FSD beta testers can share. And obviously, from the videos that I have posted, as well as from many others, there are interventions, there are bad maneuvering, there's nothing being hidden here. It's all just a bunch of nonsense from one little statement being taken out of context, which might be the media's favorite pastime. and used to stir up drama. So anyway, this Verge reporter asked Elon about FSD NDAs, and Elon basically said, not sure why we have them, people seem to be ignoring them. And so now, of course, it's getting even more attention. So my advice, don't worry about any of that. Anyone who actually cares about more than just stirring up drama can see that there are plenty of videos of FSD beta online, functioning significantly less than perfectly, and obviously Tesla has not done anything about that, so there's your answer. A better question from the audience about FSD was just how Elon views this kind of transition period where you kind of have to rely on both a person and AI or machine learning, and it led to kind of a philosophical discussion. Elon started off just by saying that the transition period is always a little bit funky, and he recalled something that someone told him on the early days of Tesla heading down the autonomous path. They said, quote, even if you, for argument's sake, reduce fatalities by 90% with autonomy, the 10% that do die with autonomy are still going to sue you. The 90% that are living don't even know that's the reason they are alive, end quote. So the point here is that every single year in the US alone, about 38,000-39,000 people die in car accidents. If autonomy was 10 times safer, that would save 35,000 lives that would have no idea that they would have been among that statistic had things not been autonomous. But the counter side of that is that there's still 3,500 people that are that remaining 10%, and that'll be devastating for those people's entire social circles, and then 3,500 different lawsuits to follow. So it's a tricky thing to handle, and logic doesn't always win out in these scenarios, but Elon says, quote, nonetheless, I've had many conversations with the Tesla Autopilot full self-driving team, who are just an outstanding group of people, and saying, like, listen, guys, the reality of doing the right thing matters more than the perception of doing the right thing. And as long as we are confident we are doing the right thing, even if we are criticized and sued and all that, we should nonetheless do the right thing and not care about simply the perception of doing the right thing, end quote. So it sounds simple, it sounds logical, and like no question that is what should be done. But even though it sounds easy to do, in practice it isn't. I think it's a great value to have though at the very top of the organization. So those were most of the Tesla relevant comments. Then there was just one other interesting business related thing here on SpaceX. Elon noted that launch revenue probably tops out at somewhere around $3-4 billion per year, but that for SpaceX, he believes that Starlink can capture maybe 3% or so of the $1 trillion internet market. So that's $30 billion. I'm not sure how explicitly Elon has communicated SpaceX revenue targets in the past, so kind of interesting to hear his most recent thoughts on that. The other thing that I noticed when he was talking about SpaceX, which is important context to understand, he did say, quote, that's what I am spending most of my time on, is driving the development of Starship, end quote. So again, context was SpaceX. I'm not sure if that means just in terms of SpaceX allocation time, if he's saying most of that was on Starship, or just his total time that he has available, most of that going to Starship. So a little bit unclear, but thought I would pass that along either way. So those were kind of the highlights from the interview. And then on Twitter today, Elon did have an interesting response to a video that Galley from Hyperchange had shared, part of which went through a business metric called ROIC, or Return on Invested Capital. So Galley's first tweet here said that Tesla will get bigger than Apple, and then he posted this chart of Tesla's cash ROIC, showing how it's risen over time and suggesting that it will keep rising too. Elon replying to that tweet saying, quote, no guarantees, but I think it will. This is a big part of what I meant by Tesla's long-term competitive advantage being manufacturing technology, end quote. So a little bit ambiguous if he is replying to the original tweet saying Tesla will get bigger than Apple or this ROIC tweet. I think it's the latter. Might get some coverage as being the former, but because it was in reply to that second tweet, we'll go with the ROIC. And my thoughts on this, yes, I fully expect this metric to keep rising. This is part of the operating leverage that I always talk about. Though it's a different metric, it is influenced by similar factors. So if you look at this graph of Tesla's ROIC that was shared by Galley, you can see that back in 2015, 2016, even through 2017, return on invested capital was negative or flat, and then all of a sudden shot up and now is very high. Well, that's not because Tesla was just bad at investing their capital before. It's just that the long-term nature of those investments takes time to then flow through the financials to actually show up in a metric like return on invested capital. It's not my favorite metric. It sounds a lot more forward-looking than it really is, but it's just net operating profit after tax divided by invested capital. So if your investments aren't actually generating operating profit yet, like Tesla's didn't for so many years because of just the long lead time for that, then it's going to look bad. But as that operating leverage finally comes through, all of a sudden your return on invested capital skyrockets. And yeah, I would say I'm very confident that that is going to continue to increase. So if you're interested in more on that, definitely check that video out with Galley and his guest Meyer, who is on Twitter at FreshJiva. Great follow there too. All right, next up, we've got an updated note from Wedbush ahead of Tesla's Q3 delivery report, sharing their most recent expectations. Remember, they still have a $1,000 price target on the stock, no change there. And in the note, they say that, quote, while logistics in Europe remain complex given most Model 3s slash Ys are coming from Giga in China, we believe Tesla should approach potentially about a 230,000 delivery number in the quarter and handily beat our 212,000 estimate and early whisper numbers in the 220,000 range, end quote. So I can confirm that as of today, the current analyst consensus is 222,000, but true expectations, that would be the whisper number that Ives is referring to there. It does seem like, to me, that's probably been creeping up. Ives is still saying 220,000 range there, which that would be great if expectations are at that level, but that's been the consensus for quite some time, and to me, I've only seen estimates that have really been increasing, so that's why I say I think that the true estimates, or a whisper number, would be a little bit higher. As for the full year, it looks like Ives is saying that a base case would be 865,000 deliveries, and a bull case could be 890,000 to 900,000. All right, next up here, just a quick update on Giga Texas. A local Austin ABC station has noticed that Tesla has now listed 315 jobs for Giga Texas on their jobs page. Unfortunately, I don't know how many there were before, so I don't know exactly how many of these are new, but Tesla clearly getting ready to gear up there in Austin. And some of these listings, maybe they'd hire multiple candidates for each one. Could be a significant number of people. Next is a quick update out of China. This is from Ray for Tesla, who's reporting that Tesla is actually suing one of the high-profile protesters from earlier this year. I assume this is one of the brake failure people, but I haven't looked into it that closely. But Tesla is suing for defamation and demanding an apology and retribution of the equivalent of $750,000 from this party. So more important than that, obviously Tesla just fighting back and, not to say making an example of this person, but to some extent, showing that Tesla will pursue issues that they feel are defamation. Next up here, just a couple of notable sales of Tesla stock. So first, Chamath Palihapitiya, billionaire that has been bullish on Tesla in the past, did disclose that he has sold his stake in Tesla. He said sometime in the last year or so, also saying, quote, I don't have an infinite pool of capital, so when I have these ideas, the money has to come from somewhere, end quote. So not much of a story, and he did say that he is still bullish on Tesla. Sounds like maybe even a bit more than a few months ago. The other non-story is that ARK has been selling some of their stake in Tesla, which they do very frequently, but I know if I don't talk about it, people will ask. But as usual, it's because Tesla over the last, you know, month or so has been outperforming ARK's other basket of stocks, so that causes Tesla, already a top position, to increase in its weight. Therefore, ARK sells it down and buys into more of the underperforming stocks. So again, non-story, business as usual there. All right, lastly then, just to follow up on the UK story we discussed yesterday. So a lot of people in the comments letting me know that there was no fuel shortage. It was actually more of a logistics issue, which shockingly was then sensationalized by the media and then perhaps got a little bit out of control, similar to maybe toilet paper shortages in the past. So sorry if I contributed to any of that, though what we were talking about was more about the reaction. So points still valid. Anyway, we looked at the Google Trends stuff, and some people wisely pointed out that we should look at electric car instead of EV or electric vehicle, and turns out there was a pretty big spike in interest in electric car searches in the UK corresponding to this petrol shortage or perceived petrol shortage. So pretty interesting to see, and wanted to share a couple of corrections on that. But that'll wrap it up for today, so as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, September 30th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.